Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Urban Therapy with Sun Show, Sun 752. You know how it go. And today, on this Saturday, on Urban Therapy with Sun Show, we are talking about the longest time that you have ever been down. How long have you ever been down? Have you ever had a stretch of weeks, months, years, possibly even decades, when your confidence was low, where your money was low, where your self-esteem was low, where everything in your life just seemed to be at best and at its highest mediocrity? These are the times when you really had to look deep down inside of yourself and try to find what was going on with you that either made you accept that you could not or would not do better, or that there were circumstances that you were a part of that were keeping you in a space that you probably didn't want to be in. That's what we're going to talk about today on the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm over here hiccuping, halfway burping and belching and all that kind of stuff. But we here, y'all. We here. And I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope y'all feel like real men and women should. You know, when we talk about being down is the opposite of being up. When we talk about being up, we are talking about the times when we are living the high life, the times when we are making the kind of money that we want to make. We are living the kind of life that we want to live. We are loving the way that we want to love, and we are being loved back the way that we want to feel loved. We are as popular as we want to be by the people that we want to be popular with. Things in our lives are very reinforcing, and we feel like we are on top of the world, and nobody can touch us. Can't touch this. And I don't want to reduce this into a financial argument, but here's the thing about not being able to afford the things that you really want to buy. When you can't afford the things that you really want and you want things often, then you start to feel demoralized, because you're going to see other people being able to buy the things that you want to buy, and then it's going to make you feel more powerless as time goes on, that you're not able to do the things even after you've worked hard that other people are able to do when they don't seem to be working as hard. And our perception is everything. So our perception may be that somebody isn't really working all that hard and all of that kind of stuff, but they did whatever they had to do in order to achieve the things that they have achieved and to live the kind of life that they want to live. So even though it's not always about the money, being able to afford the things that you want to buy and not having to struggle financially to be able to keep your lights on, to keep your water flowing, to make sure that there's heat in your house in the wintertime and cool air in the summertime. You know, the difference between, all right, you know what, I'm going to eat chicken every day because I can't afford steak. Or if I buy steak, I'm going to have to buy the chuck steak, and I'm going to have to tenderize this thing, maybe even boil it to be able to chew the shit, in order to be able to enjoy it instead of being able to buy the top sirloin, you know, the ribeye or a better cut of meat that will be more enjoyable and probably even more nutritious if you want to make the argument that any type of meat can be nutritious. Well, when you want lobster and steak and you can't afford lobster and steak, so you have to eat Salisbury steak and some imitation lobster from the Chinese spot or something like that. You know, some old cheap shit. You know, I know when me and my boys was younger in our 40 drinking chicken wing eating days, I used to get these things called crab sticks. Crab sticks. They were imitation crab, fried crab sticks that you would get from the delis. So give me a 40, and you know what? Let me get a fish sandwich and some crab sticks. You know, later on, I found out, like, this shit ain't crab. To a drunk person or a person that's drinking, it actually looks like you're eating crab. That shit was imitation crab. I don't even – let me look up what those imitation crab sticks were made of. Because we was eating that shit. You know? Let me see. What are imitation crab sticks made of? Made out of? You know what? They're made of whitefish. I remember them saying that.
Imitation crab is made with surimi, a paste made out of finely shredded or pulverized fish. After the fish is minced, it is heated and pressed into shapes that resemble meat from a crab leg.
Imitation crab is made with surimi, a paste made out of finely shredded or pulverized fish. After the fish is minced, it is heated and pressed into shapes that resemble meat from a crab leg. The resulting imitation crab looks similar to the original crab in its coloring and texture. And I remember reading years ago that it was made of like some white fish or something like that. And a lot of times when you're eating imitation seafood, it's made of white fish. What the hell is white fish? I'll bet you that's some Chinese. Okay. Where is white fish found?
According to Encyclopedia Britannica, whitefish, any of several valuable silvery food fishes, generally found in cold northern lakes of Europe, Asia, and North America, often in deep water.
Whitefish, any of several valuable silvery food fishes, family salmonidae, or in some classifications, Corydonidae, generally found in cold northern lakes of Europe, Asia, and North America, often in deep water. Yeah. Let me see. Oh, yeah, this fish is garbage. They say lake whitefish occur in Lake Superior and in many deep, cool water lakes in northern Minnesota. Oh, God. No, Minnesota fish. Anyway, so when you're young and you're drinking and you party and you having fun and whatever, you drinking cheap liquor, 40 ounces of malt liquor and Cisco and all that kind of stuff, you feel like you're doing okay because for the station that you're in at the time, everything is all right. It's not until you start as a drinker, you start wanting to drink the higher end of liquors and things like that. So once they started to come out with the premium vodkas and stuff like that, you either could afford it or you couldn't. Now, you could still get drunk either way, but when we're talking about the longest time that you've ever been down, and if we're talking about the definition of what being down is, and if we tie it to our finances, and once again, I'm not saying that being financially down means it will start to affect everything else, but it can. It can in some cases, because not being able to afford things that you want, not just for yourself, but for your family, your children, and things like that, it can start to really get you down. You know, it's hard being a parent. It is hard being a parent. And one of the hardest things about being a parent is the fear that can strike in your heart when you really have good children and you want to provide for them. You feel like they should be rewarded, rewarded for being good kids, rewarded for doing well in school, rewarded for being helpful, rewarded for being respectful, rewarded for making your job as a parent easier. And you feel like, yo, they deserve a PlayStation 5. They deserve a, trip to amusement parks. With the best ice cream or, snacks and things like that. They deserve it. And when you're unable to provide that for them, and even when they understand, because many of our children aren't greedy or spoiled or bratty. And so we're like, yo, I really want to be able to give this to you. You deserve it. And when you can't give it to them, it can make you feel terrible. And don't let it be the case where you are in a bitter breakup or divorce with a spouse, an ex-spouse or an ex-love or a child's father of yours, mother of yours, that is doing well financially. So they're able to provide for the child what you would love to be able to provide. So they're able to, even though your child may not love the other parent any more than you, You wish that you could do what they're doing because they may be deficient in the love and the affection and the educating and the rearing and raising part. They may be deficient in that part, but they can come through with those gifts. They can make a Christmas. They can make a birthday. They can make a gathering. They can make a vacation. They can do the things that you wish you could do, but you can't. And it can be worse when you physically can't, which means that you financially can't. Like, you can't work the job that you had anymore because you had a bad injury or you got sick. You contracted some type of illness that stopped you from being able to work. So now you're on limited disability, short-term disability or something like that, where you're only making 60% of the salary that you would have made before. And now you are struggling just to keep the household afloat. Maybe you may even have to start considering moving to a different place where you can afford it a little bit more. But you definitely are not able to make the Christmases and the birthdays the way that you would like to be able to do, like you could when you had the money. So you're down. You're feeling down. Like, my kids don't deserve this. They deserve better. So I can understand, you know, you willing to get your hustle on, but you ain't got you don't have the energy. You just don't have the physical ability to get out there and make it happen. And your job, or human services, they jerking you. They trying to tell you that you ain't as sick as you say you are, or that they can't really help you because you made too much money before, now you ain't got it. How long does this process go on before you stop believing in yourself, stop believing in others, and start feeling like people are just pandering to you to try to make you feel good? You're a strong person. You're a proud person. You are a leader, and you're feeling like, not only have I been shot, hurt, left for dead, but my recovery and my comeback is taking too long, and I don't think I'm going to be able to get back to what I was. And if I'm not able to get back to what I was, I definitely can't do any better than that. So this might be my station in life. That's what being down for too long can mean. So what's the longest time that you've ever felt or experienced anything like that? Because it's tough, man. It's tough. And that's what we're going to talk about today on Urban Therapy with Sun Show. So let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single Saturday from 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Saturday. And it is Saturday. This is the day where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, bust it up with each other. I mean, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the... And if you can't say Omar with the R, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is how it's going down. This is what it is. So we're talking about the longest time you have ever been down. What's the longest time? What y'all know? T. Carrie Wright, thanks for coming on through. I appreciate me some Y-O-U. No, doubt. And looks like you have something that you want to talk about. Let's see. My sound is messed up? We good? Okay, I guess we good now. We might have been messed up before, but we good now. All right. CK Wright says, nah, let's talk about it. Finances play a part. They definitely can. I'm not saying that you have to be rich, but shit, man, you should be able to buy a gallon of ice cream, half a gallon of ice cream when you want it, shouldn't you? Shouldn't you? Shouldn't you be able to get the leather seats instead of the cloth seats if you want the leather seats? Shouldn't you? I mean, I guess you could say, listen, you should just be happy that you can afford a car. You're right.
But if you want the leather, you want the leather. And I know what it's like to get the cloth when you want the leather. Because every car you see, and you're going to see, you know how when you buy a car, you see a million other cars, a million other people with the car just like yours. And you're going to be finding yourself looking into cars while you're walking down the street or while you're driving, and you see cars like yours, you're going to be looking in their cars. You're like, yo, they got the leather inside they shit. I would have got the leather, too, if I could afford the leather, but that shit was another couple of thousand dollars, and I ain't have it. That ain't a good look. It's not a good feeling. TK Wright says, some people say that money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure can buy comfortability. I have no argument against that. You can be comfortable without being unhappy. You know what I mean? Being able to sit up in the jacuzzi for a little while, do a staycation, be able to go on vacation, be able to get away, even be able to afford a membership to a massage parlor where you can, you know, get a stone, hot stone massage, all that old shit. It helps. You need to get your nails done. You can't afford to get your nails done. It helps to be able to afford to be pampered. I'm just saying, for girls. Stacey White, what's going on, Ma? Good to see you. TK Wright says, or the ending of a relationship that drastically changes your social and financial standing. Woo-wee! We talking now. We talking now, y'all. So when you and your girl or your man were together, when you and your spouse were together, a major part of your social life was tied into you and her or him being together. So y'all could afford to be a member of social clubs, country clubs. You know, you dealing with people, with professionals, doctors, lawyers, business people, entrepreneurs, people that are out there getting it, doing what they got to do, making an impact out here. Enjoying their lives and shit. TK Wright also says, not being able to provide for yourself or your children, and now you have to move back in with your parent or family member. That can really make you feel down. Having to move back in with your family member and you got kids. So you become a burden, a financial burden on as a package. Now, of course, people going to say, they're going to try to comfort you. They'll be like, it's not like that. Everybody goes through hardships or whatever. You know, you got a lot going on. That's why people are willing to help you and all of that. And all of that encouragement may be truthful and it's great. It's great to have those support systems, and you'll do a lot better with the support than without it. However, that's only going to pacify you for a hot second. It's not going to pacify you or make you feel any better about your condition night after night, week after week, month after month. Because at the end of the day, you're tired of being cooped up with yours as well. It's like, you know, it's like a stray cat having a litter of cats, and they bring their litter over to your backyard or your front yard because they know that you've been feeding that cat. So they figure, hey, look, you can feed the rest of these too. Help me out. Help me out. That's how you feel it. You have to go looking for somebody to help you raise and provide for your family. It's demoralizing. And you know, you're going to fear that somebody is going to throw that back up in your face one day. Oh, yeah, when you ain't had nowhere to take your kids, when you was homeless out here, when you ain't had shit, when you ain't had nothing but a fucking book of food stamps I took your bum ass in and took care of your kids and all that shit. Well, they broke up my whole house. That's the reason my house don't have no doorknobs on none of the doors, or they don't have no doors on none of the doorways. Put holes in the window, in the walls and all that old shit. That's the reason I got my cable remote taped up to keep the batteries in. Yeah, I know. 10 years later, you ain't got no excuse for having the same remote. That's not the point, though. They used to lose the backs to all the goddamn remotes in the house. I couldn't operate nothing without holding the back of the remote. The DVD player was missing the damn, you know, the stereo, the receiver. That's missing the back to that shit. We had to tape that up. The cable, the TV, the VCR, the DVD, everything. Even the damn fan and the air conditioner. What do your kids do with the backs of remotes? I know them little bad motherfuckers was just taking the backs of the backs of all of the remotes to be funny, but that wasn't funny. But nonetheless, I love your kids and I love you too. But don't forget where you came from. I'm gonna tell y'all something right now. You fuck up the remotes in my house, I'm kicking you out. You hear me? You hear me? If I gotta tape up the back of a remote, if I have to do this, if I'm missing this, and I have to use this to tape up,
because y'all don't be giving me shit. I always gotta do a visual with y'all. I better get a better piece.
If I got to do this, if I got to tape up the back of my remote, that's a pretty good job, too. If I got to tape up the back of my remote because you goddamn kids, out, out, out. And I'm talking shit. Anyway, goddamn. Yeah. You be afraid that somebody is going to throw what they did for you or how they helped you back up in your face and whatever. And when this goes on for months and weeks, I mean weeks and months and years, it's just not a good look. Oh, shit. I taped up the remote and messed around and turned the TV on. God damn it. Damn, this is the signal on this. See what your kids made me do? Now I gotta cut the tape off. You're damn cheering. They messing up my props. They messing up my visuals. You're damn cheering. You know what's up with your cheers? So yeah, it can really start to work negatively on your self-esteem and your confidence and your ability to believe that you're about to turn the corner or do better. And you may not feel like you've hit rock bottom. So you know how people would normally encourage you by saying, "There's only the only way up. There's only up from here." No, because you know that you can go lower. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm your host, Sun752, and we are talking about the longest time you have ever been down. How long have you ever been down? Down. Down financially. Down emotionally. Down mentally. Down confidently. Down. Just not feeling like yourself. Missing the way that you used to be. Believing in yourself. Missing believing in yourself. Missing knowing that you could do better and compete on a higher level with others. Knowing that you could beat champions. You could dethrone kings and queens. TK Wright says, my longest time was 10 years. That's a long time. Mine was damn near that long too. And yo, man, it'd be, and you know, there are pockets. There are different pockets of being down within that time. Because it doesn't necessarily mean that you were all the way down during that time or that you were declining that whole time. It could have had like peaks and valleys, ups and downs. But what you were down more than you were up. According to what you're used to and what you want and what you know you could do, that's the part that kills you. You know you can do better than this, but here you are. Okay. TK Wright says six of those I was down. Six of those 10 years. Okay. Okay, my mic sounds good now. I know what it is in the beginning of the show. Even though I have the sound turned down, because it's coming through the electricity of the microphone when I have Blog Talk on, it's still distorting, man. We in a bad space. We in a bad space, baby. No, that wouldn't have made sense because you know what? I didn't start this show until the Blog Talk portion was all the way done. So no, I don't have any explanation. I ain't got nothing. Stacey White says, I am satisfied when all my needs are met. And you've experienced all your needs being met? That's pretty cool. And she says, hardships don't last for long. They don't? That's pretty positive. TK Wright says, 100 at throwing it back up in your face. It's a fear. It's a fear that you can have, and that shit is going to nag at you, nag at you. And you know, the fear that somebody is going to throw something back up in your face is what will make you refuse help. It will make you turn down somebody actually trying to help you. Like, oh, no. Mm-mm. Because fearing that somebody will throw something back up in your face is actually tied into not being able to trust somebody. If you trust that somebody is really in your corner, you're not going to have to worry about them throwing anything back up in your face. You won't have to worry about that. But when you know that some people only help you so that they can throw it back up in your face or so they can tell everybody what they did for you, yeah, you're going to be stressed out about that. Like, nah, they offered me $1 million, but I ain't taking it. Now, can you imagine feeling that way? Like you're going to turn down $1 million of free money because you know that money ain't really free. All money ain't good money. And I know that even if I turn this $1 million into $10 million and pay them back $2 million, they're going to harp on the fact that they gave me the $1 million. Terry Hawkins, my girl Terry Hawkins holding it down for the D, 24/7, 12 months out of year, 365. That's what I'm talking about. How you been? 52 weeks. Always holding it down for the D. Terry, what's going on, man? Stacey White says, I tried to pay my way because I do not want nobody throwing nothing in my face. Word. That's right. That's right. You, if you, If your kids break all of the doors, got all my doors hanging off the hinges, and they done messed up all my doorknobs, I'm kicking y'all out, man. I'm not doing this. I'm not replacing them. I'm not going to have to be lifting up my doors in order to close my doors, then having to lift it to open the door. You got to lift it to close it, lift it to open it, lift it to close. I'm not going to be jiggling keys in order for the door to lock. It's not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be able to stick the key into the keyhole and turn the lock and have it locked. You're not supposed to have to jiggle the lock, play with the lock. Shout out to everybody who has a lock in their house somewhere on some door where they have to play with the lock. They got to play with the lock. That might as well be a combination. If we got to play, they got to play. That ain't cool. And it's because of your kids, your badass monkey kids, always swinging from something, jumping from something. There's no reason I should have handprints and footprints on my ceiling. Why? Why do I have footprints and handprints on my ceiling? What we doing? What we doing? What I'm doing? Jay Wright says, exactly, at peaks and valleys. DJ Wright also says, hardships last long for some and short for others. It all depends on the people and their situation. That's right. Trouble don't last always, but it be here way longer than I invited it to. I ain't invite trouble to this party. And here he come in. Spiking the punch and shit. Stinking up the bathrooms and shit. Staying in the bathroom too long. People, there's a line outside of bathroom at this little get together at the crib. Bring your ass out of here. That's trouble in there. Stinking it up. You know what I mean? People out here drinking alcohol. You know they got to get in there and pee. Okay. And T. Carey Wright says, regardless of how long a person can be in a dark place during that time. Oh, no. Regardless of how long a person can be in a dark place during that time. True. Stacey White says, I'm the one who got to watch out for when it comes to the remote controls. Her back's on a remote control. Don't let nobody take the backs off your remote control. You shouldn't have to tape up your remote control. I don't care. You shouldn't have to tape up your remote control. Get your life back, baby. Get your life back. Once you get the backs on all your remote control, you're going to start living like, yo, just be proud of yourself once again. That's all I'm saying. Urban Therapy with Sun Show, the longest time you've ever been down. I was down from about 2009, like the end of 2009 until a good... And here's where the peaks and valleys things come in. I had an okay job between 2010 and 2012, but it was an okay job. It wasn't a great job. And because I had to travel far to get to the job, I spent too much money on tolls and gas and stuff like that. So a decent salary that I could make with overtime and stuff like that took a major hit. But I was doing okay. Not great, but okay. It definitely made me hungry for more. Then when I left that job and I took a job making less money, but I was closer. I was in the city. So it kind of balanced out to almost the same thing. It wasn't a good look, man. And you know, you know when you really don't like what you do for a living, this is how you know you really don't like your job. There was plenty of overtime available at the job I was working at, and I took advantage of none of it. I ain't want no parts of that shit. Nope. I'll get there at 7 o'clock, and I'm leaving at 3:30. I can't do it. That overtime would have really been nice for me. I'm like, I'm not staying here another minute. And so financially, working at that job for almost 5 years, it was 4 years. It wasn't almost 5 years. It was 4 years. But I'd had more than enough. Like, get this out of here. Stacey White says, imagine having an accident that you didn't intend to have. That's what an accident is. Nobody intends to have an accident. That's why it's an accident. It ain't on purpose. But an accident can lead to you not being able to work. It can lead to people having to take care of you. It can lead to long bouts of rehabilitation. And you know, when it comes to rehabilitation, the journey to try to restore your body to pre-existing condition, and your pre-existing condition might not have been all that, but trying to get just back to that, just trying to get back to the regular aches and pains and bruises and bumps and contusions and hurts. Healing, the healing process itself hurts. Anybody who has had a major injury, broken something or something like that, you know that the healing process itself actually hurts. You hurt bones, ligaments, tendons, muscles. As they try to repair themselves, it hurts. It hurts physically. It hurts. So it can give you the impression that you're not actually getting better. But you got to give it time, and you got to be patient. And that can make you feel like you're even farther down than you were. You know, you get to thinking, I'm not getting better. I'm getting worse. I'm in more pain than I was when I first got hurt. G.K. Wright says, I never front like I've never been down because I refuse to stay down. I don't have it in me to be okay with staying down. 100. She also says, I hear that, Stacey. I was in a bad car accident in 2012. Didn't walk for 9 months. Woo-wee! 9 months of not being able to walk. I ain't going to lie. I can't even imagine that. God forbid. Let's knock on wood. Stacey White says, man, you make me want to go to devil up, and I know that's in my life. You make me want to go to beat the devil up?
But yeah, man, it's tough. We're talking about the longest time you've ever been down. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel. Yet, look, we only got a few people in here. We should at least have the equal amount of likes, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, help me out. Do me a sizzle, please. Yeah. When we talk about being down, when you're down, it can lead to depression. And some people are down for years, even decades, battling clinical depression, battling their own personal demons. And even though people may try to help them, encourage them, try to help them along, try to get them back to the type of person that they know that they can be, you have to help yourself when it comes to being depressed. Nobody can get you out of your depression for you. You have to help yourself out of that. And it's hard to do that with a chemical imbalance looming over you. It's hard to do that when you don't feel like you have it in you to be whatever you were before. It's hard to do that when you're living in the past because the future doesn't seem like it holds anything decent for you. It's hard to do that when the person that you thought that you would spend the rest of your life with has decided to move on with somebody else or has passed on in life. You know, they've died or something like that, or like things like that can really take a blow to your ability to appreciate each day. So it's hard. It's hard dealing with that. So in being down, fighting depression on a regular basis is something that you're going to have to do. And the question is going to become, are you even up to the fight? Do you have what it takes to battle depression? There may come a time in your life where you have to be honest with yourself because you may not be able to battle depression. You might just be letting depression win. God forbid that you're letting depression win because it doesn't win humbly. When depression wins over you, it stomps all over you. It kicks you while you're down. It puts its foot on your, you know, it sort of puts its foot on your chest and raises its hands in victory. You know, like, yeah, you better not move. I'm going to kick you in your damn head. I'm going to stomp your nose until you never smell nothing again. Yeah, depression kicks you while you're down. It takes you down. Puts you in a submission hold, maybe a choke hold, and then it demoralizes you and teases you about being down. Aha, that's right. You ain't shit, and that's why I took you down, and you'll never be able to beat me. Aha, punk motherfucker. No, I'm talking about. No, I'm talking about. Stacey White says, gaining your independence back. The devil did not win this fight. I hear that. Darkness don't have my mental. I am a walking miracle. That's what's up. Yeah. If you were down, you wouldn't be able to talk like that. Because when people are down, they don't talk like that. They talk more like, I hope something helps me out of this. I hope I win the lottery. Because they don't think that they can make the money on their own. You know, like when my ship comes in, what does that even mean? Ain't no ship coming in to make sure that just because you are a nice person, you going to get this money. Ain't no ship coming in. You better go out there in the water and find yourself a ship. Build yourself a ship. You know what I mean? I don't care. You build yourself an ark. If Noah can build an ark, you can build one too. The longest time you have ever been down is tough. Been down. Shoot. And whatever the things in life that bring you joy, the things that you enjoy, when you're not able to afford the things that you enjoy, let's really look into this. I want y'all to understand what this is about. Because like I said, this is not about how much money you have. But there are certain things that you enjoy. Now, you have to take a strong look at what it means to enjoy something. Liking something is one thing. Enjoying something is an experience. I can like a person that I've never met. You know, I like him. You know, I like her. They seem like they're cool. They seem like they stand for something. But when you enjoy being with somebody, enjoy talking to somebody, enjoy being around with somebody, enjoy the experience of knowing somebody, it's different. So maybe I like Denzel Washington, Angela Bassett, some other actors. But I might really enjoy watching them work and act in movies or singing or performing. Like, I really enjoy going to their concerts. It's different. So when you are able, when you are unable to afford the things that you enjoy, like, I really want to go to the Weeknd's concert. When the Weeknd comes by, I really want to go to his concert because I like his music and I like the way he performs. He puts on a really good show. This is just an example. And then when the Weeknd comes to my town, I can't afford a ticket to go see the Weeknd. That sucks. That's why I don't understand how come Beyonce charges so much for her concerts. Because you are freezing out a large segment of people who are your biggest fans because they can't come out to support you. And they really enjoy listening to you and watching you perform. But you price them out of that enjoyment because they're down right now. You understand what I'm saying? So if you enjoy going to concerts, but you can't afford to go to concerts, you enjoy going on vacation and meeting new people and experiencing, seeing new things, and you like to stay in a hotel and just relax and not have to worry about people that you know clogging up your space for a little while, but you can't afford it. Shout out to all my people out there that need to get away from their family and their friends and their loved ones and their haters. So sometimes on some days or some weekends, they just rent out a hotel room or a motel room in a local hotel or motel just to get away. Like, what you doing this weekend? No, I'm going away for a little while. They ain't going nowhere but downtown. They ain't going nowhere but out in the county. They ain't going nowhere but somewhere where nobody knows where they are, and they're going to be uninterrupted. Maybe they might invite somebody to the room with them. Maybe they may not. Maybe they just need to decompress, just to breathe, like just to be able to watch TV, go on social media, and do something uninterrupted. Because part of being down is not being able to afford or not being able to enjoy the things that you enjoy. My girl or my boyfriend don't like me on social media. I like being on social media. I like, you know, I like posting pictures or I like to make videos or I like to read people's posts. I like to laugh. I enjoy social media. But he thinks, or she thinks, that I'm just looking for somebody to be with on social media, and I'm not. But out of respect for them, I'm not going to be on social media. Well, you might need to get away from them for a little while. So, yeah, you told them that you was going to go take care of your sick aunt, and you just went and got a room at the extended stay. Turn the location off on your iPhone so he or she don't know. So being down alone is bad. But being down with somebody else, especially if that person does not even feel like y'all are down. You're down, but you're down alone because this person that you're with or these people that you're around, they don't accept y'all condition is being down. So it's like being in the projects. It's like being in the projects. And because some people work who live in the projects, and some people wear gold or have a car or can drink the best liquor or smoke the best weed or whatever, you know, they've accepted their position or condition in the projects. And you like, man, we got to get the fuck out of these projects.
Well, how lonely is that? They good. Just like Mobb Deep said, my man Havoc, no matter how much loot I get, I'm staying in the project forever. When beef come together, when beef come, we go together. What'd he say? This is my favorite Mobb Deep song, too. Dope goat, wait a minute. The jewels goat, but never that. As long as fiends smoke crack, I'ma be back hustling, counting my stacks. I don't know, man. Havoc was a better rapper than Prodigy was. He just was. He even wrote rhymes for Prodigy. But rest in peace, Prodigy. Man, Havoc used to be dropping that shit. Anyway, Stacey White says, that sounds like something that I would do. Yeah, sometimes you might just need to get away from the people that you love, but they making you feel down. You down. You down alone and you down with them. You got to fix it. You got to do something for yourself sometimes. So when we talk about the longest time that you have ever been down, man, we can be talking about a dark place. At least it's dimly lit. It's dimly lit, baby. Yeah, man. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. And regardless of how long or short that your time down may be, it's going to feel like it went on for way too long. Too long. So, what can you do in order to brighten up the dark place that you've been in for too long? You know, friends and family who are supportive are a great help and a great resource for digging yourself out or climbing up out of that hole. Therapy, going to therapy, and talking to somebody that you know cannot throw anything up in your face for can be a really, really great, great resource and a wonderful thing to do for yourself. Diet and exercise play a large role that people don't seem to understand. Most people think that diet and exercise is just for the way that you look. You want to make sure that you don't get too fat or too weak or whatever. And it does help to prevent those things. But the best thing about diet and exercise, when done correctly, is that it helps your mind to remain positive. It's supposed to open up pathways in your mind that give you more options. And options in your mind are ideas, and ideas give you ways to escape feeling like wherever you are in life, if you're low, that it gives you ways to escape that. It gives you options and ideas about ways that you can escape your present condition, your present negative condition. And that's what education is about. Education helps too. So diet and exercise, let me finish up that thought. When it comes to diet and exercise, you want to think more in terms of nutrition, not just putting food in your belly that sticks to your bones. That's not hard to get. But we're talking about nutrition. Every organ in your body asks for a particular food source, which is a nutrition source, so it can help the rest of your body work in tandem with each other. So your body can be the ultimate biological specimen. So when you're hungry for a certain thing like sweets or salts or things like that, that's because one of your organs is deficient. One or more of your organs are deficient, and they're asking you to eat a certain food so that they can work properly. Unfortunately, we get those signals crossed, and so when we – have a taste for some for something sweet, our body may be asking for like fruits, you know, naturally sweetened things that have nutritional qualities to it. But we might go out and buy candy and cake. And the negative tasty things that we feel like our body is craving and asking for. Well, cravings are your organs asking for something. That's the reason why you get hungry. You get hungry because your organs are deficient in something, and they're asking you to eat something, whether it's salty or sweet or bitter or something. Unfortunately, we may choose the wrong foods to ingest because we don't understand how nutrition works. So once you understand how nutrition works, then you can go about making better decisions on what to put inside of your body. And it will work better. And it's one of those ways that you can get out of that down place, that dark place that you've been in for a long time. Education. Education gives you more than enough options about how to handle any present situation that you're in. One of the reasons why poor people are tied to lack of education is because when you haven't been schooled properly, when you have not been educated, it kind of reduces you to the type of instincts that an animal might have for survival, because you don't know about other ways, creative ways, positive ways, and constructive ways to be able to prolong your survival. You'll go to stealing, violence, and maybe even murder in order to try to get the things that you want, because you don't know better ways. Nobody has taught you, showed you, educated you on the other things that you could do in order to get the things that you want. So if you eat right, exercise some, read more, learn more, surround yourself with other people who will not only encourage you, but they will inspire you, then you can get yourself up out of a dark place that you have been in way faster than you may have ever thought so before. We're about to get on up out of here. Yes, we're about to get on up out of here. It's been a pleasure for me. Even though we were small, you know how we be. And I want to thank you for coming on through. I appreciate all of you. I do. We get a couple of more shares in here. A couple of more shares in here, and we'll be good, my dear. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hold on. Wait a minute. Okay. So we have some shout outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious, glorious, glorious. April 29th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special, because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, my baby brother, Hafi McIntyre. Hafi the Dream, a happy birthday, my team. Happy birthday to you, baby bro. Appreciate you and all that you do. And I hope this one serves you mad well. And also Tanya Lee, happy birthday to you. And my man Ramasus Aman Ma'at Ra, happy birthday to you. And Mickey Armstead, turning 59 years old today, and also Jeffrey Hackett turning 64 years old today, and last but not least, Albert Geiger turning 55 years old today. You know what? It's Master P's birthday, too. Happy birthday to you, Master P. I want to say, first of all, I hope that the day finds you all in good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. I want to say that to all of y'all and anyone else who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious April 29th, anywhere out there in the world. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. Turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on and do the damn, the rock out. Rock on and do the damn, rock out. Rock on and do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours. And remember, man, listen, it's hard being down. It's hard feeling like nobody wants to come around. It's hard feeling like you a circus clown and this ain't the circus and it's not going down the way that you had scoped everything to be, the way you dreamed it up, the way you thought you would see. And I want to tell y'all a little something. I want to encourage you, never discourage you, and never, never, never forsake nothing that you do. Me and you a crew. If you come through and listen to the show, then you know how we do. I don't want to see none of my people down. I want to see you up like a motherfucker when I'm around. And I don't want you to be faking none. I want y'all to be more than the two but the one. And I'll see y'all tomorrow at 1, just like we did today. You know what I'm saying, son? Peace all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. Hope y'all enjoy listening to the show as much as I enjoy broadcasting it. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. Please make sure that y'all hit that like button on your way out. Share the show and subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. So love is love, baby. And Blog Talk, we going to get you out of here. Yeah, yeah.